Judges chapter 17. So we're in our series, Portraits, and I was planning to just do this one on Sunday nights, even through the Gospel Focus Month. I was like, it's okay if it doesn't, you know, line up with Gospel Focus Month, but this message does. Now, the next one doesn't, but Judges chapter 17, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. There's this interesting story toward the end of the book of Judges. Judges chapter 17 and verse 1. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah, and he sent unto his mother the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated this silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we pray tonight that you would help us as we study your word. We ask for your wisdom and your guidance tonight. We pray that you give us understanding, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts in this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I was thinking that I can't remember the last time I stood outside at night and looked up and saw the stars. I honestly can't remember. I remember doing it when I was younger. And we would look for like Orion, that constellation, and then the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. Find Orion's belt, you know, and I think the North Star was in there somewhere. I don't know. But I remember doing that when I was younger, but I can't remember the last time I've gone outside and actually seen the stars. And I blame light pollution, right? It's like, because I mean, I don't know that you can anymore. We live right by Mohegan Sun, which many times you can look out and see a purple glow over the horizon or a different color can... I don't think if you're anywhere near Mohegan Sun, you're going to be able to see the stars because of that monstrous thing. But yeah, not being able to see the stars. And I like looking at photographs of the night sky, especially those like professionals where you can see like, I don't know, like the whole, just like the night sky and all of its glory and like the incredible pictures that they're able to take. But to do that, they have to go to like the darkest places on the earth, right? You can't take those in the middle of New York City. You have to go and find a place that's really dark, and then you know, however they set their cameras and all of that. But I think it's ironic that they travel to like the darkest places on earth so that they can see light, right? They're trying to see the light of the stars and even some of the planets. But they have to travel into the darkness to find that. And when we think about darkness, we think about how the Gospel of John starts, right? Where it talks about that the darkness of this world and that Jesus Christ came to be the light in that darkness. And it talks about spiritual darkness, which is, it's ignorance, right? It's people not knowing God and not knowing about God and about the Gospel and about Jesus Christ and people just living in their ignorance and living out their ignorance. But it's more than that. It's not just ignorance, it's also disobedience, isn't it? And it's rebellion and it's sin and it's them turning away from the light that they might have and choosing to sin and choosing to turn away from God and rebel against God. And it's a darkness that's always been there. And back in the book of Judges, the darkness of this time in Israel's history, it's summed up with the phrase that every man did that which was right in his own eyes, right? And that's ignorance. You know, people doing what is right in their own eyes, that is ignorance, but it's also disobedience. And we read that phrase, and we see some of the things that take place in the book of Judges, and we go, you know, it really hasn't changed in thousands of years. You know, it seems like it's just the same. You look out today in this world, and people are doing that which is right in their own eyes. And you look at it and go, it's crazy, right? It's just insanity in so many ways. But that's what darkness is. It's when people reject God and his truth, and they turn and they go, okay, what do we think is right? What do we think we should do? And every man does that which is right in their own eyes, and that's what darkness is. And we get a glimpse of darkness in this one man's life, Micah. And in chapter 17, it starts off kind of on a good note, right? With him confessing to his mom that he has stolen money, right? In which the stealing isn't good, but at least, hey, he's confessing it and getting it right. He returns all this this money. His mom was cursing about this because she couldn't find it. And there's this restoration, and he restores the money, and their relationship's restored. And then she says, you know what? I have dedicated this money to the Lord, kind of such as it was. But she goes, you know what I'm going to do instead? I'm going to give it to my son. And he says, well, I'm going to do with the money what you wanted to do with it. And we're like, oh, you know, the family's getting back together, and things are looking up. And then verse 4, he takes the money and gives it to the founder, who makes a graven image and a molten image, and they set them up in his house. In verse 5, the man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. And we go, okay, that went downhill. Like, they could have, you know, done something better with the money, but instead they pay for a graven or a carved image, and then they give some of it to a founder who melts it down and makes a cast or a molten image. I think they were trying to worship the Lord, but they weren't doing it in the right way. This is essentially what Israel did in the wilderness wandering when Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and they say, okay, we're going to worship the Lord, but in a golden calf. And the Lord said, no, that's not how you do that. And one of the commandments is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, right? That's not how you worship the Lord, through this idol or through this figure. That's what they're doing. Now, I'm an optimist. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that this was just ignorance on their part here in Judges chapter 17. They just didn't know any better. Maybe they did, but even so, ignorance is no excuse for disobedience. We can't just say, well, I disobeyed because I didn't know any better, and God says that's okay. We find in the law that God had a sacrifice laid out for sins done in ignorance, because even sins done in ignorance need a sacrifice. They weren't just like swept under the rug where God says, ah, it's not that bad, it's fine. God says, no, there still needs to be a sacrifice, even though you broke the law not knowing you were breaking the law. But here they are in this darkness, doing what they thought was right in their own eyes, and yet finding themselves in disobedience. And this is darkness. This is what spiritual darkness is. Psalm 82 and verse 5 says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. John chapter 12 and verse 35 in the end says, he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. That's what darkness is. And we live in a world that has so much darkness and so much ignorance of the Word of God. And I think it's getting worse. That people know less and less about God and God's Word. And society has done a really good job of taking God's Word out of culture and really getting it out in any way that they can. And so we have people all around us that don't know anything about God, and what they do know about God, they try and ignore and say, well, that's not true, and they reject that, and every man just does what is right in their own eyes. But God is light, and this is what God does. He shines light into the darkness of this world. The very first words we have recorded that God speaks is, let there be light. That there was darkness over the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light, because that's who God is, and that's what God always does. He shines light into darkness. He gives truth. He gives understanding. He gives his word. We find him talking with Adam and Eve, and then we have Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all of these prophets throughout the Old Testament, where God said, you need to know this. You need to understand this. You doing what is right in your own eyes doesn't work. You need to know what the truth is. You need light in the darkness. And God has not left us without light. And so we come to, in Judges chapter 17, we have this darkness in this man Micah and his mother. But then we have in verse 7, as the story continues, it says, there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place, and he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. Oh, so now the story, we go, oh, that's starting to look a little better, because now we have a Levite that's passing through and he comes to Micah's house. We find out in chapter 18, the end of chapter 18, that this man's name is Jonathan, this Levite. A Levite was someone, a member of the tribe of Levi, one of Jacob's sons. They were the tribe that was dealt with the temple and the tabernacle and the things of God. When they carried the tabernacle through the wilderness, the Levites had different parts of that family had different responsibilities in regard to like packing up and carrying the tabernacle, setting it up, and then like the ministry of the tabernacle. They were the priestly tribe, the tribes that from where the priests would come, who did all like the sacrifices in the tabernacle and then in the temple. They were supposed to be different. So they weren't given like specific, the other tribes were given their regions of where they would live in Israel. Levite wasn't given that. They were like, God was like, spread out throughout the land. You're going to be all throughout the different tribes and you'll have your places among the other tribes. But one of the things that God told the Levites to do was, you're supposed to teach the law. You guys know the law, and then your responsibility is, as you're spread out throughout Israel, to be the teachers of the law. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 8. Leviticus 10 and verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, that thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest it die, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 10, the Levites are told, they shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. So that's what these Levites are supposed to be doing. So here we are in Judges 17, where Micah's messing up. He's got this graven image and this molten image, and here comes this Levite, and we go, okay, this is the time in the story where the hero shows up. You know, where it's like things are going bad, and then like the police show up, and you go, oh, everything's going to be better, right? The hero shows up kind of to save the day, and you're like, this is what's going to happen. This Levite is going to come, and he's going to straighten Micah out, and he's going to tell Micah, no, this is not how you worship the Lord. You worship the Lord with sacrifices, and he's going to teach Micah and his mom the law, and everything's going to be great. But then we read on, and we go, okay, that's not at all what happens. And this is like when the hero shows up, and then you realize he's not who you think he was in the story. And so look in verse 9. He journeys, he comes to the house of Micah, and Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man. And the young man was unto him as one of his sons, and Micah consecrated the Levite. And the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. And nothing changes. And you go, this man, Jonathan, the Levite, knew what was right. He was a Levite. He had been taught the law. He had grown up in this. And yet he arrives and he doesn't bring any light to this darkness. He was an individual who should have been the light in the darkness, and yet he was not. And so what I want to see tonight is a portrait of dimness. A portrait of dimness, where this one individual who should have been a bright light shows up to the place of darkness and isn't. Doesn't do what he's supposed to do. And so there's two lessons I want to see this evening. The first one is this. In chapter 17 and verse 13, first lesson is this. Dimness keeps others in the dark. Dimness keeps others in the dark. Chapter 17 and verse 13, it ends this way. Or after Levi moves in and he's hired to work in this man's house as his priest, Micah says, "Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." Keeps others in the dark. It seems like whenever you get a flashlight, you put new batteries in, you go, "Oh man, this is great." And then it's like the next time you go to use that flashlight, you go, "What happened?" like it's just not bright anymore. My general experience with flashlights is I go to the drawer where we keep them, I turn it on, and then I look at it and go, "No, it's on." You know, it's like, it just doesn't shine anymore. You look at charts that show like the progression of brightness in a flashlight, and it's awful. Over the first 5 to 10 minutes, the brightness dives steeply, and it loses like 25% of its brightness in the first 10 minutes. So you put new batteries in, you turn it on, you go, "Oh, this is good." And then like 10 minutes later, you're like, "Is it working?" That's just the way flashlights go, right? And so it's like you get a flashlight and you're like, "Well, it's shining." And then you're like, "You know what? It'll probably be better in the dark, right? It's just too bright around here. It works. It'll be a lot brighter when I try it in the dark." And then you try it in the dark on your little camp out or whatever. And it's got enough light for you, but nobody else. You know, it's just enough to barely light your path, but nobody else. Because it's dim, right? And that's what this man is, right? There's maybe enough light for him and his path, but it doesn't help anybody else out. And really, it's keeping Micah in the dark. Because here's Micah's thought, right? As he's got these graven and molten image, and he's there worshiping God in a way that doesn't please God. And yet he says in verse 13, "You know what? God's going to bless me. The Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." As a Levite, Jonathan had to know this wasn't going to be the case, that God was not going to bless him, even though Micah was doing what he was doing. Jonathan had to know that this was not the case, but we never find him saying anything about it. In fact, we find him being very content to dwell with the man and to just stay there in this house and let things go on as they were progressing. And, you know, sometimes we don't say things that are really obvious, you know, because it would be really obvious. You know, if Ray talked about going to Walmart, right? He didn't have to explain to us what Walmart is. He didn't have to go through and say, "You know, it's that big store right there." Because we know, right? It's obvious. We don't explain things that are obvious. This wasn't obvious to Micah. Micah didn't know, apparently, how to worship God. And yet the Levite who knew it, and maybe it was obvious to him, never shared anything. And I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Micah's living in darkness, and the man who has light is not shining it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." That's the issue, isn't it? That dimness in our life, in our presentation of the gospel, whether through our life or through our words, dimness hides the gospel from them that are lost. That's the problem. It keeps other people in the dark. In Ezekiel chapter 3, I want you to turn there. Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3. In chapter 33, toward the end of the book, the Lord speaks of like a watchman who sees the enemy approaching. And he says the responsibility of that watchman is to warn the people in the city. Right? The watchman's up there on the walls. He's looking out. And he needs to blow the trumpet and warn the people. And so he says in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, he tells Ezekiel, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." The Lord says, you're the watchman. You see things. You see the enemy coming. You have that understanding. You warn those that don't see, those in the city that aren't watching. And that's what we're supposed to do, because there's a bunch of people out there that are living in ignorance and in rebellion and darkness against God. And how are they going to hear without a preacher if someone who has light doesn't go and shine that light unto them? That's our responsibility. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 4 says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We see what the Bible says. We know the gospel. But there's a lot of people out there that don't. Dimness keeps other people in the dark. It says, you know what, I'm not going to let the light shine brightly. It'll be just enough for me, but nobody else. And that's what we learn. That's what we see in Judges chapter 17. But there's another lesson that I want us to see. And that is in verse 10. Judges chapter 17 and verse 10. Micah said unto him, dwell with me and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. So the Levite went in and the Levite was content to dwell with the man. Number two, dimness is uncaring. It's uncaring. I don't know why the Levite didn't confront Micah about the graven images that he had, right? Or why he didn't talk to him about this or teach him anything about the law. But I've got a pretty good guess from verse 10. And that is, he was paying him. He said, I'll give you 10 shekels of silver and a suit of apparel and all your food. And you know, if someone's paying you to do something, you're probably not going to confront them and say, well, this is wrong, we shouldn't be doing this. Or you'd be like, well, maybe I'll just let it slide. You know, that's why we don't find a lot of environmentalists working for logging companies. Because they're like, oh, well, we're going to talk about this, right? And so you don't have logging companies hiring environmentalists to protect the trees. It just doesn't fit together. And we look at this Levite and this and Micah, and we go, I don't really see that these two fit together very well, right? One who is supposed to know how to worship God in truth, as God says, and yet he's hired by a guy who's not worshiping God the right way. And why is this fitting, right? Why is this working together so well? We go on in chapter 18, and the story continues, and I'm not going to read too much of it, but in verses 1 through 6, the tribe of Dan is traveling to a location, and they come by Micah's house, and they stop in, and they get to meet Micah and Jonathan, this Levite. So then, like, they travel on, but then they stop back. They come back, and in verse 18, so the second time they return, it says that these went into Micah's house, some men from the tribe of Dan, and they fetched the carved image, the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, what do ye? Jonathan says to them, what are you doing? They said unto him, hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed and put the little ones and the cattle in the carriage before them. And they talk to him and they say, hey, listen, you know, you're serving one man. Think about how much better it is if you got to serve a whole tribe, right? Be the spiritual leader for a whole tribe, not just one household. And Jonathan goes, you got a good point. And he goes with him, and he seems very happy to do this. And we come down to verse 30. And the children of Dan set up the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. And he never holds Micah or the entire tribe of Dan to the second commandment. And he never teaches anyone the truth. He never shines any light into this darkness. And we have this man who knew the truth, who had the light, never shining it, and allowing all those around them to just live in darkness. And you know, if he really cared for Micah, or if he really cared for the tribe of Dan, he would have said something. He would have spoken up at some point and told them the truth. And what we find is a man who just cared really about himself, who was very happy to get paid to basically keep quiet and just keep his mouth shut. And then when he had a greater chance to do it to an entire tribe, he was very happy to go along with them and receive all the prestige and the honor that came with that position. But he had to keep his mouth shut, right? Because they had all the false gods from Micah's house, and they were planning to do that. And we find a man who just showed how much he cared for himself and not for the people that were around him. And if he had really cared, he would have said something. And you know, when we come to the New Testament, we have, in the book of John, we have God sending Jesus Christ into this world as the light of the world, who came to show us who God the Father was and to bring us the gospel. And what does the Bible say was the motive behind that? For God so loved the world, he so cared for the world that he sent Jesus Christ to be the light of the world. Shining our light like we're doing, passing out tracts, that's caring for people. That's looking at someone else and saying, I care enough to be a little uncomfortable to hand them a tract, to give them something because I have the light and they're in darkness, and that's just what I need to do. Dimness, though, it's not caring. It's caring more for ourselves than for someone else. And so we need to be the light of the world to the people that are around us. Some of the, as we've kind of been in the book of Judges for a little bit, and as we're familiar with the book of Judges, some of the accounts in the book of Judges, they end on a high note, like Deborah and Barak with their victory there, and then the song that they sing, and Gideon, you know, that story ends with victory, and then even Samson, in a way, right? He's blind and in prison, but he has victory at the end. This story does not end on a high note. It ends like we read in chapter 18, verse 30 and 31, where it kind of just fades out with this whole tribe setting up these false images, the graven image, and worshiping them all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. And it starts with every man doing that which is right in their own eyes. And then we introduce this man who has light, who knows what the truth is, and yet the story progresses to the end where it's just every man doing that which is right in his own eyes still. And we have a man in the middle that doesn't do anything, has zero influence on the people around them, zero positive influence, right? And the light that is there is so dim that it leaves everyone else in darkness. And we see a man who simply cared about himself. And I want to look at a couple more passages. Ephesians chapter 4. As we close, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Sometimes it feels, as we share the gospel, it feels like we're walking a fine line, right? We don't want to be offensive and hurtful to people. We don't want to be a stumbling block, you know, in how we share the gospel or when and the appropriate time and all of that. We also don't want to leave them in the dark, right? We don't want to not say anything or share anything. And Ephesians 4 and verse 15 says, speak the truth in love. Be loving, be caring, and speak the truth, right? That's our responsibility. And our prayer really needs to be that as we form that habit of praying for the gospel in the morning, our prayer really needs to be that God would open the opportunities. And that God would give us like an open door, as Paul says, for the gospel. Also that God would give us like the right words to say, and even sometimes the right words or the words not to say, right? That he would sometimes keep us from saying maybe the wrong thing, right? But that God would allow us to be able to speak the truth in love and find a way to walk that line where we are being a light in the darkness, but we're not offending someone or being a stumbling block. Speak the truth in love. And the last verse I want to read is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be doing. And we see this man, this Levite, Jonathan, portrait of dimness, had the light, had the truth, and yet it didn't influence anyone around him. And our lives should not be a portrait of dimness. Matthew 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. When people go outside in this life, they go out into a world of darkness. But there is light outside, and that's you and me, the people that know the truth. And it should be that as people who know the truth, that we shine brightly in the darkness. That when people walk out of their homes and they're going through life in a world that doesn't know Jesus Christ, yet they come across every once in a while someone who does. And someone who is not so dim that they pass right by and don't see anything. But someone who's shining, who's doing their best for the glory of God to get the gospel out there. And maybe all it is this, them going here and handing them something. But it's light. It's the light that they need. It's a light that they are looking for that maybe they don't even know they're looking for. But we can't be dim. We can't be Christians who have the light, but it goes no further than our path right in front of us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see God in us. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our life. Lord, even as you're challenging us to preach the gospel and to be light in this world. Lord, we're thankful that someone has shared the gospel with us. Help us to be faithful to preach the gospel, to not be dim in our witness for you. We pray that you would bring us to the people that you have for us to preach the gospel to. And Lord, may their hearts be tender and open to the gospel. Help us to be bold and courageous as we witness for you. And Lord, we pray that people would get saved. Lord, that's our desire as it is yours, that people would come to know you and trust in you. And Lord, we pray that you continue to bless our church, continue to work in us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.